Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So on Thursday, we celebrate Independence Day, right? The 4th of July. It is the day that we declared our independence from England. The day we gained our freedom from British rule. The day we declared ourselves as something new, right? We called ourselves Americans. Wait, go back. Sorry. That's okay. Americans. Yet look at us. I'm going to say that's us. Look at us. We're really still held captive to thinking of ourselves as Europeans. Look at how we're dressed, right? That wasn't the traditional garb of Americans. Everything was the tradition and the culture of, at that time, Britain, of European. As a matter of fact, we were held, I'm going to say we instead of they, we were held captive, right, to those traditions. We were held captive in our minds to thinking of ourselves still as Europeans. And we held on to hatred and fear of those who aren't like us, right, non-Europeans. As a matter of fact, we didn't look anything or behave anything or have any new traditions like those who were the true Americans, the Native Americans, the ones who inhabited this land before we even showed up. In fact, we saw the Native Americans as the enemy. We didn't adopt any of their cultures, any of their ways of being, any of their dress. In fact, we forced them to become like us, Europeans. And today, if you think about it, we continue to identify more with a European culture than we do with a Native American culture. Yes, they're playing in England. So did we become independent from British rule? Yes. But were we really free? Were we really new? No. We were still very much thinking of ourselves as European. And those that were here, we wanted them to become like us. So how does that fit into today? Well, Paul, St. Paul, is writing to the Christians who are in Galatia. And Paul had gone to Galatia to start a new church, to spread the news about Jesus. And so the question is, at that time, were most of the people who lived in Galatia Jewish? No, they weren't. They were Gentiles. They had their own gods, most of them. Not to say all of them. So when Paul went there, he went knowing that they were Gentiles, and he taught them about who Jesus was in a way that they would understand it. He shared with them the message to those who were not Jewish, but most likely worshipped many gods. And he told them the gift of salvation that's given through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, God's mercy poured out through faith and not the law. That something totally new was happening. Here was a Jewish teacher, which would have been unheard of at that time, talking to, working with, probably touching Gentiles, non-Jewish people, speaking about the gospel and the good news. Mostly what he told them is what we know, is that the good news is not fulfilled through keeping the law, but it is fulfilled through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul gets those churches going, that church going. They were meeting in each other's homes. And he leaves. And when he leaves, there are other Jewish leaders that come in. We're going to call them Jewish Christians. And they say, wait, what did Paul tell you? No way. No way. No, 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 no. Here's how you have to do it. The first thing you have to do is you have to become like us. You have to become Jewish first. Then you can believe in Jesus. But you have to be Jewish first. You have to be like us. First thing you have to do is you have to enter into the covenant. So you have to become circumcised. Second, you have to keep all the rules, all the laws of purity. And eat. You have to do that. And then comes the trust in who Jesus is, the Messiah, the one who fulfills the law. These Jewish Christians, if you think about it, were held captive to their thinking of themselves as Jewish first and the need for circumcision and following the law. See, they identified first with their understanding of themselves as Jewish. And that's where Paul said, no. And that is what this letter is about. There is an argument, a massive argument going on in the early Christian church about what it means, really, to be made new. To be made new doesn't mean first you become Jewish and you have to do all these things, and then it means the then first. These Jewish Christians weren't really free at all, were they? They didn't identify themselves as being new beings in Christ alone. They didn't fully understand that they had been set apart for the law. And that's what Paul is doing in this letter. Now, we're way into chapter 5. But earlier, he says, in Christ, there is no longer Jew or Gentile. There's no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. We are all made new in Christ. So he says, no, you're not required to follow the law. Recognize it's like required, required for salvation. You have been set free from that requirement for the purpose of salvation, new life in Christ. And as you come to understand that freedom, then you will naturally serve the other. For this is what we heard. For freedom, Christ has set you free. So don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. And what is that slavery? What is that captivity? The captivity is the focus on ourself. A particular way first. Captivity to the ways of this world, doing whatever it is that we want to do, gathering as much as we want. As a matter of fact, if you listen to what Paul says, he speaks about all those things, right? We could go into what all those things are. At times we can identify with having done some of those things and continue. That self-focused thing is really, really hard to shake. So, what is freedom? It's not an escape from authority. It's not an escape from responsibility. It's not an escape from obligation. Freedom is an escape from our self-focus. Janis Joplin, in her song, Me and Bobby McGee, there's a great line in that song. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. You see, Paul understood that. Paul understood that he was free because he had nothing left to lose. He recognized that death had been put to death, that Christ killed death and rose and conquered death. Paul recognized that his way was not the right way. So he lost his way. And he understood Christ as the way. True life came from death of himself. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. The one thing that ultimately binds us here is sin and death. But that doesn't have a grip on us anymore. We have been liberated. That's freedom. And only a truly liberated person can serve. We are called to freedom. And that freedom is not self-serving. Because when we serve ourselves, we become enslaved to ourselves. And we're right back into the old way of being and thinking. So instead, we're called to freedom that enables us to love and to serve the other. I'd read a story about British and American prisoners of war, back in Germany. And they had been separated from each other, the British and the Americans, by a fence similar to this. Now, the British didn't quite know how to get news from the outside on what was going on, but the Americans knew how to do this. However they got their information, they knew what was happening in the outside world, and they wanted to share it with the Brits. And so there was a man, an American man who spoke Gaelic, and I believe there was a British cleric who spoke Gaelic. And so the two of them occasionally would meet by the fence, and they would exchange pleasantries, like they were greeting each other, of course, until the guards came and they were chit-chatting. And it was the way that they would then share news with each other in a language that most of the Germans didn't understand. And so one day, the American speaks to the British in Gaelic and says, guess what, this is great news. They have no idea yet, but, you know, so pleasantry, like we're saying, hey, good day, how's everything going? But guess what, the war is over, Germany has surrendered, and they just don't know that yet. They didn't get news for days after, meaning the guards didn't know that the Germans had surrendered. And so for the next 3 days, all of them were still in prisons. They were held captive during that time. Nothing changed. They continued to be harshly treated. But they looked at their hard life in a totally different and new way. They sang. They waved to the guards. They laughed at the barking dogs because they knew that the war was over and they were free. 3 days later, the guards found out about the surrender. They fled, leaving the gates open. So here's the question. When were they free? When were they set free? Was it when the guards left and the gates were open? Or was it at the point in time that they had heard they had won? That the war was over even though they were still held captive? You see, that's how it is for us in this place. It's the state that we live in. Yes, we are still surrounded by sin and our sin and the world. Yet, through Christ, we're winners. So I always say eternity begins right now. It's not something in the future. We live in it today. We know what it feels like today, just like those prisoners understood that the war was over, even though the news hadn't gotten to those guards yet. Paul is saying, you believers, you have already been released by the work of Jesus, the Messiah. Stay in that freedom. Live in that freedom. And the same is true for us on this very day. We have been set free from our sinful self, from death itself, and we have been reconciled with God. God wins. We have been justified by grace through faith. So, what is freedom? It's a life lived fully in the Spirit. It's a life filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's freedom, the gift of the Holy Spirit, because in Christ we're made new. So here's what I'm going to say. Let's start living like those prisoners, truly living this new life. This is the way. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Put it another way. Christ has set us free for freedom, for a life lived in joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control for the other. Amen. Amen.